Imagine waking up tomorrow, just completely out of the blue, to find $432,000 of your own hard-earned revenue locked in a digital vault for 6 months.
Just completely frozen.
Exactly. You cannot use it for payroll. You cannot use it for inventory. You know, you just cannot touch it.
Yeah, that is a nightmare scenario for any operator.
Right. And the reason your money was frozen, out of thousands of successful orders, exactly 49 customers forgot to cancel their monthly subscription and just decided to call their bank.
Wow. Just 49 people.
Just 49. So welcome to this deep dive into the 2026 payment processing environment. I'm your host, a senior payments advisor here at MyPayAdvisor, sitting down with our lead analyst today.
Hi, everyone. Yeah, we are going to cut through all the noise and look at what is really happening to merchant cash flow right now.
Because if you are a U.S. merchant, you know, processing anywhere from $25,000 to $5 million a month, the actual cost of simply accepting money is escalating at just a terrifying pace.
Oh, the data paints a very clear, very expensive picture. I mean, looking at the latest Nielsen report figures, total credit and debit card fees paid by merchants hit $198 billion in 2025.
That is insane.
It is. That is a 70% increase since 2019. But focusing only on the fee increase really misses the actual existential threat to operators today.
Which is what we are focusing on today.
Right. The hidden mechanics of reserve increases are quietly taking down highly profitable businesses.
And as an operator doing real volume, you probably already know the mechanics of a reserve. Your processor basically holds back a percentage of your settlement money.
Yeah, usually through a rolling reserve, a cap reserve, or like an upfront cash hold.
Exactly, just to cover their own risk. Mm-hmm. So we do not need to retread all those basics. What we really need to analyze today are the specific triggers for a mid-contract reserve increase in 2026.
Because those actions are way up.
Way up. Reserve increase actions actually rose 18% across the U.S. merchant base between 2023 and 2025. And that is driven almost entirely by card-not-present chargebacks.
So our goal today is to break down the actual underwriting math that is causing these sudden reserve bumps.
Right.
We are going to look at the primary triggers, really so you can spot the risk signals long before your processor's automated system decides to freeze your capital.
Because they will freeze it without thinking twice. So where does this aggressive posture even come from?
Well, to understand the aggression of these algorithms, we really have to look at the root cause.
Yeah.
And that is the discretionary risk clause in your merchant processing agreement.
I feel like processors used to act like business partners, you know? And now they just act like adversarial auditors constantly looking for a reason to penalize you.
It is frustrating, but it all flows downhill from the Federal Reserve. The Fed puts massive regulatory pressure on financial institutions. They basically force them to monitor the risk they inject into the broader payment system.
Which makes sense on a macro level, I guess.
Sure, because acquirers really do not want federal regulators scrutinizing their portfolios. So to protect themselves, they use that discretionary risk clause in your MPA to pass that oversight directly onto you.
Ah, I see.
Yeah, that clause gives them the legal cover to adjust your reserves at any time purely based on portfolio performance.
Okay, so let's put some hard numbers to that performance. We're looking at the Visa Dispute Monitoring Program, or VDMP.
Right, the big one.
Yep. The standard placement threshold triggers at 100 disputes and a 0.9% dispute-to-transaction ratio.
And excessive placement hits at a 1.8% ratio.
Exactly. And MasterCard, you know, they triggered their equivalent program at 100 chargebacks and a 1.5% ratio.
The problem, though, the really dangerous part, is that the underwriting team does not wait for you to hit 0.9% to actually take action.
Wait, really? They jump the gun?
Oh, entirely. The danger zone, you know, the point where the automated system actually flags your account for manual review, that starts at a 0.65% ratio.
Wow, that is a huge difference. 0.65 is so low.
It is. Once you cross that 0.65% warning line, a processor will initiate a manual review. They pull 90 to 180 days of statements just to heavily scrutinize your whole business model.
And this is the operational trap that catches so many good businesses off guard. Because these ratios, they are calculated by transaction count, not by dollar volume.
Yeah, that is a critical distinction.
It is huge. Think of it like a speeding ticket. If you drive past a traffic camera, the machine only counts how many times you sped. It does not factor in whether you were going 5 miles over the limit or 50 miles over.
A ticket is a ticket.
A ticket is a ticket.
Yeah.
So in the processing world, a $5 dispute counts the exact same as a $500 dispute against your ratio.
Yeah. And building on that speeding ticket idea, the denominator is your total number of transactions.
Right. The math changes based on volume.
Exactly. If you have a slow sales month and process fewer transactions, but, you know, you receive the same raw number of chargebacks from the previous month's sales, your ratio will spike artificially.
Just because the denominator shrank.
Yep. The algorithm does not care that your overall chargeback volume is flat. It only sees the ratio crossing that 0.65% threshold.
So if an operator, you know, survives the ratio trap by running a tight ship and keeping disputes super low, they naturally assume they are safe.
But they are not.
Right, they aren't, because the algorithm isn't just looking at angry customers. It was actively hunting for behavioral anomalies.
And honestly, the non-chargeback triggers are often the ones that ruin cash flow the fastest.
Like what? What is the most common one?
The most common one is definitely the seasonal volume spike misread. Most acquirers enforce a very strict 50% volume spike rule.
Okay, so what happens if I break that?
Well, if you run triple your average volume in the fourth quarter, or say a marketing campaign goes viral, the automated system actually reads that sudden success as massive fraud risk.
Wait, I am losing the thread here. Why does the system assume success equals fraud?
It sounds backwards, right?
Yeah, I mean, if I'm running a huge Black Friday sale and converting thousands of new customers, my processor is making way more money on those transaction fees. Why do they freeze my funds for making them more money?
Because machine learning models completely lack context. To an AI risk model, a line on a graph going straight up mimics a bust-out fraud scheme.
Oh, a bust-out scheme.
Exactly. In a bust-out scheme, a bad actor processes just a massive amount of stolen credit cards over a weekend, and then they vanish with the cash before the chargebacks can even roll in.
Leaving the processor holding the bag.
Exactly. The processor takes the loss. So when your legitimate e-commerce site suddenly spikes 300% in volume over a weekend, the algorithm just assumes you are either committing fraud or you completely changed your business model without telling them.
And unless you warned the underwriting team like 30 days in advance, they just freeze your capital right when you need to pay for that extra inventory or, you know, that expensive ad spend.
Right. And another behavioral anomaly the system hunts for is the refund spiral.
Okay, refunds. Let's talk about refunds.
Yeah, because refunds do not actually count as chargebacks, and operators often use them freely just to keep customers happy and avoid those disputes entirely.
Which is smart customer service.
It is. But refunds hit the processor's risk model the exact same way a chargeback does.
Really? The exact same way?
Basically, yeah. A refund rate above 5% sustained for 60 days is a standard trigger for a reserve review across almost all major acquirers.
I have to stop you there, because that makes zero sense. From an operator perspective.
I know, it is tough.
If I have a supply chain delay, or maybe I realize a bad batch of products shipped out, I am going to do the right thing. I am going to proactively refund my customers.
As you should.
Right. So my refund rate might temporarily jump from 3% to 7%. Are you saying the algorithm actually penalizes me for doing the right thing and actively preventing a chargeback?
Yes. Because to the algorithm, it isn't about right or wrong. It is purely about predictive modeling.
So just looking for patterns.
Exactly. A high refund rate today is the single strongest leading indicator of a high chargeback rate tomorrow.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. The system basically sees a breakdown in your fulfillment process or your product quality. It just assumes the refunds are the tip of the iceberg and a wave of chargebacks is basically imminent.
So it preemptively strikes.
Pretty much. It initiates a 200 to 400 basis point reserve bump just to build a financial cushion for itself.
Which is brutal. Because your processor is squeezing your working capital right when you are desperately trying to, you know, fix a real supply issue.
It is literally kicking a business when it is down.
So naturally, operators try to play defense. They know these algorithms are opaque and trigger happy. A smart operator decides to build redundancy.
A backup processor.
Yeah, they apply for a secondary backup processor to ensure their business stays online no matter what happens with their primary. But the crazy part is, the act of building that safety net can actually trigger the exact financial crisis they were trying to avoid.
Yeah, this brings up the MTCH-less phenomenon.
Oh, MTCH,
yeah.
Yes.
So MACH stands for Member Alert to Control High-Risk Merchants. When you apply for a backup processor, the new underwriting team pulls a MACH inquiry to see if you have been blacklisted by another acquirer.
Nobody wants to be on the MTCH list. It is literally the industry graveyard.
Oh, 100%. But the thing is, Even if your record is spotless and you are nowhere near that blacklist, the inquiry itself is logged into the system.
It leaves a trace.
It creates a visible footprint, and your primary processor constantly scans for those inquiries. When they see another acquirer pulling your file, their risk model interprets that inquiry as a churn signal.
I'm going to push back heavily on the fairness of that system.
Go for it.
Shopping around for better rates or securing a backup provider is just basic business 101. Getting penalized by your current processor simply for looking at your options feels like monopolistic behavior.
It is a highly controversial practice, for sure. But again, we have to look at the AI mechanism.
Okay, how does the AI see it?
The algorithm does not see a savvy operator building redundancy. It sees a merchant exhibiting signs of hidden financial distress.
Interesting.
The model basically assumes you know something bad is coming, like perhaps a massive wave of disputes or an inventory collapse, right?
Yeah.
And it assumes you are just scrambling to set up a fresh account before your current one gets shut down. So it prompts an automatic reserve increase to secure as much of your capital as possible before you can abandon their portfolio.
It is a total self-fulfilling prophecy. The model predicts you are in trouble, it freezes your funds, and it creates the exact financial trouble it was predicting.
Exactly.
We need to see the brutal math of this in action.
Mm-hmm.
Because talking about, 1% ratios and 5% refund rates feels very abstract.
Yeah, let's ground it.
The source material outlines a real-world financial example that really puts this into perspective.
Let's look at the baseline scenario for an e-commerce health supplement merchant.
Okay, walk me through it.
So they process $480,000 monthly with an average ticket price of $68. They have been in business a while, and they sit comfortably on a 5% rolling reserve held for 90 days.
That is a very standard setup for that vertical. A 5% rolling reserve on $480,000 monthly, that creates a steady state holdback balance of roughly $72,000.
Right.
It is definitely a chunk of change tied up, but it is highly predictable.
Mm.
A good operator can easily budget around a static $72,000 holdback.
So here is where it goes wrong. They make a seemingly minor user interface update.
Oh boy.
The merchant introduces a new subscription auto renew flow, but unfortunately, the developer buries the opt-out path deep in the user settings.
So customers can't find how to cancel.
Exactly. Customers get super frustrated trying to cancel. Instead of navigating the maze on the website, they just call their banks. Chargebacks spike from 22 to 71 in a single month.
Think about the sheer leverage of that number against their overall volume. We are talking about 49 extra angry customers.
Yeah, out of roughly 7,000 monthly transactions, just 49 people got annoyed and called their bank.
But those 49 extra chargebacks pushed their ratio up to 1.0%.
Yep. And the moment they cross that 0.9% line, it triggers VDMP standard placement. The processor sends a notice, and the penalty is severe.
What do they hit them with?
They raise the rolling reserve from 5% up to 15%. And worse, they extend the holdback period from 90 days to 180 days.
The math on that cash impact is staggering.
It really is.
The daily processing volume is about $16,000. At a 15% holdback rate stretched across 180 days, that steady state holdback ceiling skyrockets to $432,000.
That is nearly $500,000 of the merchant's own revenue that they cannot touch for 6 months.
And the immediate cash flow impact is what destroys operating margins. Weekly settlement drops from $106,400 down to $95,200.
Yeah.
That is an $11,200 cash flow hit every single week.
And the worst part is you don't just serve your time and get your money back automatically.
Wait, there is no easy exit.
Exiting the penalty box requires absolute perfection. This merchant had to maintain a sub 0.9% ratio for 4 consecutive months just to even be considered for removal from the program.
4 months of walking on eggshells.
Exactly. And even after they achieved that, the processor didn't just drop the reserve back to 5%.
Yeah.
The step down was painfully slow.
How slow?
They dropped it to 10% for a whole quarter and then eventually down to 7% over the following months.
It is a financial tar pit. Once you step in, the amount of energy and capital required to drag your business out is just enormous.
Yeah, it drains everything.
So what is the play here? We are operators.
Yeah.
We need to know what to do this week to protect our cash flow. Let's walk through the defensive playbook extracted from the sources.
Okay, step one is proactive data monitoring. Pull your last 6 months of processing statements.
Okay.
You need to calculate your chargeback and refund ratios strictly by transaction count, not dollar volume. You need to find out if you are creeping toward that 0.65% warning zone long before the automated system flags your account.
And while you are looking at documents, audit your merchant processing agreement. You are looking for a very specific phrase near the reserve language. Find the words, "in its sole discretion."
Always look for those words.
Yeah. You also need to check your notice period. Most agreements require the processor to give you 5 to 30 days notice before adjusting reserves. Knowing your exact timeline gives you a narrow window to react.
Next up, you want to audit your reason counts. If you see reason 10.4, which categorizes as fraud, starting to spike, you need to check your 3D secure coverage immediately.
Right.
And if reason 13.1, which is merchandise not received, is creeping up, you must audit your shipping and fulfillment timelines.
Communication is a huge part of this playbook, too. Email your processor's risk team 30 days ahead of any expected volume spikes.
Do not surprise them.
Never surprise them. If you have a massive Black Friday campaign planned, or you are getting featured by a major influencer, tell them. Pre-disclosed volume spikes rarely trigger an automatic reserve increase because you give the algorithm the necessary context beforehand.
Exactly. But honestly, the most crucial defensive move is building an operating cash buffer of 30 to 60 days that is entirely outside of the processor's control.
Keep it totally separate.
Keep that safety net in a completely different banking institution. You cannot rely on next week's settlement to make this week's payroll because, as we've seen, that settlement can be frozen on a Tuesday morning without any warning.
This really requires a massive shift in how you view your payment processor.
Mm-mm.
They aren't just a utility pipe moving money from point A to point B anymore.
No, not all.
They are an active risk management firm constantly evaluating your business health.
Which brings up one final, very dangerous trap that operators fall into. We talked a lot about volume, refunds, and chargebacks. But the single fastest way to trigger a devastating reserve increase is launching a new product line without updating your merchant category code, or MCC.
Oh, this is a big one.
Let's say your business is registered under computer software, which is MCC 57344. You decide to pivot and start selling digital goods, which falls under MCC 58816.
Right.
If you make that move without disclosure, processors will catch the mismatch during their automated monthly portfolio scans.
Because they scan absolutely everything.
They do. And they treat that mismatch as a material contract breach. It results in immediate 100% of funds being frozen until they investigate.
Wow.
So before you hit launch on that new product line, just take 5 minutes and double check your current product catalog against your registered MCC.
Taking control of those tiny details is basically the only way to survive. Count your own speeding tickets before the machine does and build a cash buffer they cannot touch.
It does leave you wondering, though. As AI risk modeling gets more predictive and removes human underwriters from the loop entirely, are we moving toward a future where businesses are financially penalized for mistakes they haven't even made yet?
Minority report for merchants.
Yeah, exactly. If an algorithm can freeze your cash flow based purely on behavioral predictions of what you might do next month, the very definition of owning your own revenue is changing.
That is a terrifying thought to end on, but it is exactly why we monitor this landscape. Stay defensive out there, and we will catch you on the next deep dive.